We're going to ask that the kids are going to sing, the words are going to be up, but I'm going to ask that you sing too, all right? So we're going to join together with them. If you feel like standing, I would encourage you to do that since the kids have to stand. But if you're unable to do that, that's okay too. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do that. So Christine, I'm going to turn it over to you and we'll get them going. Let's call for the song.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching.
Amen, amen. All right. Maybe seated, kids. You can go find your moms and dads now.
Thank you for this morning. We thank you for our church family to be able to gather together, to be able to honor you with our voices, with our lives, and even this offering. God, there's no way we could ever give back to you enough to pay things back because, God, you've given us so much. But we want to honor you in this giving. We want to acknowledge, God, that you've given us life and that much more. And so, God, may you receive this offering as a gift of worship. And even the words of these songs, may they celebrate our heart unto you, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would preside over our time and teach us even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
My yesterday, covered in grace, you were faithful when I wasn't faithful. Another day, one that you have made for me to lift you up, for me to give you praise. Now and always, my heart and soul will sing for all my days, the days of eternity, a song of praise. Will trust you when I don't understand, and forever to the end of time. We will lift you up, we will lift you high. Now and always, my heart and soul will sing. Oh, you are the same. Your love.
Jesus, the end. thank you, God, because we wouldn't have the great mothers that we do if it wasn't for your love for us. We wouldn't have these experiences in this world, and especially we wouldn't have a heart changed by your love if it wasn't for what you did for us. Just pray again that you would just help us to honor women this morning. Help us to be thankful for the gifts that you've given us in them. So we give you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You think about all the gifts that, you know, moms get on Mother's Day and all the different things. And one of the things that we take a look at is, and we struggle, I mean, we think about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a really big holiday. In fact, I did some Googling statistics. In 2019, the estimated sales for Mother's Day cards, 813 million. For flowers, 2.6 billion. This is 2019, estimated sales. For jewelry, 4.6 billion. For spas and pedicures, $1.8 billion. That's a lot of foo-foo. Retail sales, $23.1 billion. Total online sales, $6.9 billion. We think about all of that. That's a lot of money. We could, like, fix the national debt. We just diverted that money over. No, we can't do that. We think about all that's gone into Mother's Day and the retail sales. And I got to tell you, the best gift that you could ever give to a mom is priceless, but you can't get it in a store. It's love. The best gift that you can give. And all these things are measurements of, you know, giving these gifts and really letting moms know that how they're loved. And so we're going to take a look at three ways that the Bible tells us that we can love in a manner of bringing honor. It's through affection, admiration, and appreciation. And so to do that, I've got these three boxes up here that are the three gifts that we're going to be talking about this morning in really being able to see what God tells us. And the first one is about affection. And so lots of times kids like to make things for mom, right? Or cook for mom. So we're going to do a little cooking. So I have three volunteers. They've already been pre-picked. So where's my first volunteer? My number one. Number one. No, she's here somewhere. Well, I need her up here. Well, I need you up here. You got to help me cook. It's Olivia. She comes. You know, it's great on our next gen, they come and they help us. You're going to help me cook. We're going to make a love cake for mom. All right?
Well, she's good in the kitchen.
Yes, she's very good. So I've got the recipe here, right? And you're going to go into our recipe box over here. And what I want you to do is I want you to pull out, find the recipe and bring it to me when I call for it, okay? All right, so the first thing that we need, what do we need? We need a can of obedience. Obedience. We got to have a can of obedience. And where do you buy it? I think Amazon's got it, right? It's got a pull top. We can, like, open it and smear it on somebody and see if it really works. But. All right, can of obedience. We need several pounds of affection. So is there something that's got affection on it? Maybe a big bag or... Is that affection?
Yep.
All right. We got a lot of affection right there. All right. What else do we need? We need a pint of neatness. No. Got a pint. There's our neatness. And then we need some holiday and birthday and everyday kind of surprises. Was there sprinkles or something? Nope, not that. Nope. 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 Nope.
We'll save that one. Oh, well, we don't have that, so. I think we have to, but we do have, is there a can of running errands? There we go. A can of running errands. Right? A box of powdered get up when I should. And a bottle of smiling all day long. I know a few people that need to drink this regularly. And what else do we need? Oh, a can of pure Thanksgiving. Being thankful. Very good. So in order to make this, we have all these ingredients, right? We got to mix them all up, and then we've got to be able to bake it. And we bake it in our heart. And we take all of this and we put it together and we bake it in our heart, and then we can serve it to mom. And if we were to do this every day and give mom a big slice every day, it would be an awesome thing. So we have a finished product, which ends up being a love cake. So for you being such a good sport, I'm going to give you the top, or you can snack on it on your own. I was going to put a spoon in it and you could have it for later, but you can take your love cake, and you and your mom can share the love cake. If you carry it from the bottom, you probably won't drop it. But all these ingredients will be for sale afterwards at a nominal fee with no guarantees. But with that, we think about being able to put all of that together. And these are all things that are ways that we can be able to show love. But it would be so easy if we could go to the store and buy all the ingredients to be able to show love. Guys had cornered the market. I'll just go and I'll order it and all that. But, you know, it really comes to the deep-seated heart emotion of affection. And I got to thinking, well, where in the Bible does it really show us that kind of affection, that kind of love that's there? And so, if you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. As we take a look at this passage, I think this is probably one of the greatest examples of a son showing love towards his mother. In John 19, 26 and 27, we see this is the time where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And you say, well, that's kind of weird. Mary doesn't show up a lot in Scripture. She shows up a couple of times, twice in John's account, one in the Cana in the wedding feast, and here. But here, imagine this. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been tried. He's been persecuted and all of these things. And this is what takes place at the foot of the cross. Well, Jesus is hanging on the cross, verse 26. It says this. But when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his household. And you say, well, Carrie, how is that showing love? He called his mother woman. Children, do not go home today and say, "Woman, what's for dinner?" Will not go well with you. Husbands, do not come into the house and say, "Woman, where is my laundry?" Will not go well with you. But the word woman here is really a term of affection. It's in a different time, over 2,000 years ago, in a different language. And understanding it's really this affection. And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is hanging on the cross. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to rise again, and he knows he's going to ascend into heaven. That's the plan. But he has an earthly mother that he needs to take care of, that he's responsible for. We say, well, why is Jesus responsible? Well, according to the culture, the oldest male child is responsible for a widowed mother or a mother without a husband. We don't find Joseph in Scripture after Jesus' time in Egypt. He's gone. He's off the scene. Many people believe that Joseph died somewhere along that line. Now, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Why didn't they take care of him? Well, at this time, the brothers and the sisters weren't believers yet. So you got to understand what's going on. And this is where the deep-seated love really resides. Jesus could have been very narrow-minded in saying, look it, I love the whole world, I'm the Son of God, I'm dying for the sins of the world, and I'm going to take care of business. But in the midst of his suffering and his pain, he's caring for his mother. And he says to John, his disciple, the one whom he loved, as if John is his best friend, and I think really he was amongst the disciples. He says, John, will you take care of my mom? Because a widow back in biblical times was left to beg. If you remember the account of Ruth, right? What were they to do? They were to go to glean the fields. They didn't have a welfare system. And Mary, if she would have gone with James or Joseph, one of the other brothers that was there, they weren't believers yet. And so Jesus is taking care of his mother both spiritually, because he's aligning his mother with John, who will continue to nurture Mary according to Jesus' teachings, to care for her. All of this on the cross? That's love. To think about her physically and her physical needs, that's huge love. And so with this, we see Jesus stepping into that role of sonship, demonstrating love, pre-planned. Now, according to tradition, it said that John had taken Mary, the responsibilities for Mary, and took her to Asia Minor, Ephesus, where John would be. And according to tradition, Mary would live with John in Ephesus up until the time of her death and would be taken care of. Question. If the Son of God went to that extent to honor his mother, shouldn't we? And he was an adult, Son of God, looking out for the cares and needs for his mother. Now, I understand that as we mature and things happen, so many times there's life that gets in the way, but we should never forget that honoring our mothers is something that we're called to do. And so this Mother's Day, one of the things that you can really give to your mother, and to mothers in general, is that attentive love and affection. To be able to say, look, I want to care for you. I want to help meet those needs. I want to think ahead about what's going on, even if it's inconvenient for you, to be able to stop and pause. That is a great gift that you can give to moms, is to let them know that they're special and that even though things are going on in your life, that you can pause and you can put together something that will demonstrate that kind of love and to assemble that. That is a Mother's Day gift, love and affection. Another Mother's Day gift that we find in Scripture is going to be in Ephesians. Now, I need my number two up here. Where's my number two? All right, come on up. This is our number two gift. Now, as we take a look at our number two gift, we want to, while we can make a love cake and we can show them love, but one of the other things is we can show them that we admire them. So we open our number two box, step back. No, I'm just kidding. So what does this plaque say? You guys say it really loud because you're not on a mic. What does that say?
Best mom ever.
Best mom ever. Right? Now, all you all got different moms, right? But to you, your mom can be admired as your best mom ever. So we have that plaque that we can do that, but we also have a very special pillow. What does the pillow say?
Number one mom.
Number one mom. Now, why is it that every year we wait till Mother's Day and we say, you're the number one mom? One time out of the year, we say, you're number one, right? The other 364 days, it's like, ah, Mom, why, Mom? I don't want to. So here's, I'm going to help you out, all right? So we have a little message. I'm going to put it up to my mic so it can be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Should I push the button?
Okay.
Okay. See if it works.
Oh, come on.
I think I messed it up. Do you remember what it said?
Yeah.
What did it say?
Happy Mother's Day.
We recorded his voice on it. It didn't work. Sorry. So you get to take this to your mom. And then you get to re-record your message. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. So in this, as Paul was writing in the church of Ephesus, he was trying to encourage them on how to live a Christ-like life in the culture that they were in. And he talked about husbands and wives and how we should be imitators and all of this. And this is a passage that he wrote to the parents, but he also wrote to the children. But you say, well, wait a minute. What does this really mean? So we'll take a look at this. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long. So we take a look at this, and it literally says, children, obey your parents. You say, yeah, I want to tell my kids that all the time, right? Kids, obey your parents. Okay. That is awesome. Record that. But really, We have lost something in our culture on honoring. As kids, we've stopped honoring our parents to the extent that we should. We think about, we don't honor a lot of different things. We've stopped honoring God. We've stopped honoring country. We stopped honoring law enforcement, right? And we've stopped honoring the family unit as God's design, that a man and woman come together and they are married once and forever, and in that family unit they have children that raise them up accordingly. We stop honoring the institution of family in many ways. And so as parents we say, well, kids, I want you to honor us. Well, what's the standard of honor if we've lost it as a culture? And so as I take a look at this, I really think that there's two elements in here. There's an action and an attitude within this. And the action is to honor or to obey your parents because it's the right thing to do in the Lord. But we've rewritten this passage. In fact, if we were to give this a modern translation, and it's we don't do that, but if we were, this is how the world would translate this passage today. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home. Is that the modern translation? Who really rules the roost? So many times we try to placate our children to try to keep them happy. So we take a look at this word children. The word children is technon. It is a word that literally has no age reference. It means offspring. So if you are 45 and you're relating to your mother, you're a technon. You're an offspring of that mother. And so that means this passage that Paul is writing applies to you. Not just the ones that are in school age. But this applies to adults, adult children, those that are offsprings. And the action is to obey. The word obey is hupoeo, and it literally means to hear under or to listen. So in understanding, we do this with our kids. We say, you know, Johnny, whoever Johnny is, Johnny, take out the trash, please. He doesn't do it. How many parents have ever had to repeat instructions to kids? We got like hands and feet going up in the back going, yes. Hupo'eo literally means to hear under or place yourself in a position of hearing under that position of authority. In other words, the parents are saying it, and myself as an offspring, I am listening to them. That's what that word literally means, to be into that place of hearing. And it's hearing with the intent of listening out of respect. Many times kids today will say, well, why should I obey? And we hear kids say it all the time. You're given an instruction. I was just talking with somebody the other day about this, and we were talking about this whole conversation about kids and all this. And the parent will give instructions, say, you know, I want you to take out the trash. Why? Do I need to explain it to you? Because it stinks. I asked you to do this. I need you to do your homework. Why? I need you to go to bed. Why? I need you to eat your broccoli. Why? Well, because broccoli's bad, but that's okay. But we get into this thing of questioning. And when we're questioning, we're not listening. One of the ways that we can show adoration is really to be able to say yes, to be in that place, and understand the value of listening without argument. What would it be like if your kids always listened to you and never argued about what you asked them to do? Yeah, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? I want you to go outside and pick up the dog stuff that is left out there. Okay, sure, I'll go do that right now. No. It's hard. Where do kids learn how to question authority? I would say also adults. We need to model this. And so as adult technons, we need to be able to honor our parents, and we need to listen to them. One of the most difficult things that we find when we become an adult is we think that we got it all wired. We don't. There's a group of guys that meet here on Tuesday morning for coffee, and they are some of the wisest people you could ever meet. Why? Just the simple fact that they've been on this earth a whole lot longer than me. And they've listened and they've seen and they do different things. To be able to hear, to have the right attitude. And giving the gift of love is not why, Mom, but giving the gift of love is yes, Mom. In other words, I'm listening and listening to that. And that goes to attitude. Attitude is all about the admiration and respect, being able to do that. In our culture, again, we've lost this attitude, and I got to thinking about this, so I did a little bit more searching. Here's a statistic that blew my mind. 10% of families, and this is based on a 2017 report for abuse, 10% of families in the U.S. will experience child-to-parent abuse, and that number's on the rise. 10%. It's estimated that at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children on their parents. 8 million children abusing their parents. That's horrible. Horrible statistics. Why? Because they don't honor. They don't admire. We've lost that thing. So this idea of honoring, And it's explained in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Notice it was one of the Ten Commandments. And by the way, the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. Right? So many times we go, well, here's the Ten Suggestions. No, it's not the Ten Suggestions. These are the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Standards. And here in Exodus 20, verse 12, we have one of them. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The commandment was given to adults. The commandment was given to them to honor their parents. Why? So that they would stay in the land and it would be prolonged. Why? Because if they start dishonoring those that are above them, then we have this chaos that goes in where everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. So wait a minute. I think we read about that in the book of Judges. Because we stop honoring authority and admiring authority and recognizing authority for who they are. So the idea of obeying is to be able to say, look, I admire you as my parent. I listen to you as my parent. Does it mean that you have to be a little robot as an adult? No. But you need to show the respect that is due to them and to be able to honor them and to provide to your parents honors. We think about parents. They spend 20 to 25 years to bring you up, to raise you up. And in return, how can we honor them, especially in their old age? To respect them, to adore them, to let them know that they're loved. And we can do that. An old Chinese proverb says this: one generation plants the trees and the next get to enjoy the shade. One generation plants the seeds, the next generation gets to enjoy the shade. You are where you are because of what your parents have done for you. And that is why we honor them, especially moms. Think of where you would be. And I get it. There are some moms that have done a very poor job in mothering. And you say, well, Carrie, my mom was not a good mom. That may be true. And I'm sorry for that. But that doesn't mean that there are not other women in your life, spiritual moms within the church, other mother figures in the church that have and do step into those roles. Celebrate them. Celebrate what that nurturing aspect has done for you as a child and as an adult growing up. Which brings us to our third gift, appreciation. Flip over in your Bibles. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. As we take a look at this passage. And I want to encourage you to be thinking about this, to be able to do this. And I have a number three. Where's my number three? Number three, where are you at? Oh, here she comes. Now, we're going to talk all about appreciation. Now, do you have a great mom? Yeah. You want to be able to celebrate her and honor her. So I've got a way that you can do this. This box is magical. What's inside this box is going to remind you, it's going to turn your mom into this person that you are just going to, you're going to go, wow. You ready to do that? Okay, so let's see what's inside here. What is inside this box? I don't know. Take it out. So what I want you to do is I want you to give this to Mom and say, Mom, you are a beautiful princess. Can you do that? Because in order to be able to honor Mom, we want to be able to acknowledge the beauty, the adornment that moms have. Very special. So you go give it to her? And that's what we're going to be talking about is adorning. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, as we take a look at this passage, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, it says, but we request of you, I got to turn around this way, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those. And I want you to look at that word appreciate. Those who diligently labor among you. In order for you to get into this world, what has to take place?
Birth.
That is the first time we think about this whole process, to be able to have labor, and they take charge over you. One of the things that ends up happening in our lives, especially in the first part of our lives, is our mothers give birth to us, but then they hover over us. They nurture us. They care for us. And mothering is something, it's an instinct that they do. Now, sometimes mom take it a little bit too far, and we have this thing called helicoptering, right? I heard a new term, and it's called the bulldozer mom or the snowplow mom, and they're the ones that get out and they push everything out of the way. Now, sometimes that gets a little bit too much, but in our culture, we have lost respect of appreciation, and to know and appreciate, notice as Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonians, he says, recognize those who labor among you in the Lord. Esteem them highly, love because of their work, and live at peace with one another. And he's writing it to specifically to those that are the pastors and the leaders that are shepherding. But I think we can apply this to moms. Because isn't it easy to stop adorning our mom and live in a life of expectation and entitlement? What would it be like to be able to treat mom like a princess every day? Moms, would you like that? Yes? You get your crown, you get your scepter, and you're ready to go. We would be into this place of being able to adorn and to know and to appreciate. Literally, as we take a look at that, it means to grasp their worth. To grasp their worth. To appreciate means to know the worth of someone and to grasp this. If mom was wearing the crown and she was the princess, you would grasp the worth, to understand the value of that mother. In context here, again, it's talking about salary. So I did a little bit more research. If moms were to get a paycheck, how much do you think that paycheck would be? An annual salary. What would be how many think 20,000? No, would you do your job for 20 grand? Moms, would you do your job for 50 grand? 100 grand. Would you do your job for 100 grand? Some are like, oh, maybe. Thinking about it. In a recent surgery and a recent survey in salary.com, they said that the estimated annual salary for a mother should be $143,102. $143,102. And you're saying, that's a lot. I'm going to quit and be a mom. Well, guys, you don't get to do it. One, because you don't have the right skill set. You think about the multitasking aspects that are part of it and the jobs of a mom. Let's think about them. Housekeeper, chef, teacher, manager, psychologist, janitor, taxi driver, domestic engineer, accountant, event planner, interior designer, nutritionist, and the list could go on and on and on. Do moms do all that stuff?
Yes.
Yep, that much more. And guys, what do? We grunt, we eat, we go to work, we protect. I mean, there's a lot of value in what the guys do. But the ability to do that, and to think about those average salaries that are there. And so then they started figuring out in salary, and I thought it was just amazing. Based on the average 40-hour work week, the base salary for doing these jobs was $90,000. When overtime of 52 hours was calculated in, it added another $52,000. So moms are working a 40-hour week and 52 hours of overtime on average. Women, would you agree with that? Sure. And what is the paycheck that we can give? Love. We adorn them with love. We recognize their value. Paul described the basic features of the overseer, much like the mom, is one that nurtures and cares and takes care of. To be able to be in that place, they're in charge, they give instruction, and they admonish. An overseer's job is to teach, to correct, to admonish. That's what pastors do. That's what moms do. That's what dads do. Why? Because we have a next generation that we need to raise up according to God's word. So that when we leave a heritage. And so as younger people, we can honor those that have gone before us. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says this. As Paul, or whoever you, Apollos, which I think wrote Hebrews, but writes this, he says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." In other words, what can we do? We can submit with joy so that their job is made easier, not harder. We can adorn them with grace and love to encourage them. It is a difficult thing, though, as a parent or a pastor to have prodigal children, isn't it? When you have children that walk away from God and walk away from family and start doing things that are not right, it's hard. And it's hard to oversee them with joy when they're living a miserable life. So how can we repay the gift of life and love that has been given to us? In response, we can adorn them with admiration and with gratitude, to reflect upon all their goodness and to think about what they've given. And in this admonition, Paul says that we should do this holding our leaders, our pastors, our parents, and those that give an account with high esteem, or to deliver them great love. There are three gifts that you can give this morning to moms, but I think it's a gift that you can give every day. We can give to them these gifts of affection, admiration. We can give to them this appreciation that's there. So the question is, does mom know that she's loved? Does mom know that she's appreciated? And does mom know that she's admired with this? My encouragement to you is this: deliver the gift of love. But before we close this part of it, I want you to think about this. Where do we get the ability to do any of this? The gift of love. Where do we have the ability to give the right kind of love? Where does it come from? It comes from God. For God so loved who? That he? Who? His only begotten Son. That whosoever, what? Shall not, but have. We get the ability to love from God. So as we understand our love relationship with God, then we can give love to moms and to dads and to those that are authority, and we can deliver the gift of love. If you're not feeling very loving, where should you go to get love, to be able to give love? Go to God. Let's do that. Let's pray. We close out our time. God, we thank you that you have given us your Son Jesus, that you've given to us the ability to love, the attributes of love. God, we would not know love unless you first loved us, and that you've given your Son Jesus to demonstrate that love. You delivered the first gift of love in your Son Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins and has given us new life. You've given us love through our parents, through family, and through community, that we experience your love. And God, whether we are showing love through the action of being obedient, or we're showing love through the emotion of admiration, or we're showing love through just affection and being there, God, in all of these aspects, may we love others in the same way that you've loved us. We pray blessings over these moms on this day. We ask that you would fill us up, that we might be poured out, that we might be pouring out that love that you've given to us. God, as we close out our time, may we celebrate you, Lord Jesus, most of all, the one that has given us everything. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand and we'll close with a song. Jesus, the name of
above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
God, we do thank you and we praise you that you are the source of love, and that because you've loved us, we can love others. Yeah, and with that, God, may we demonstrate that love every day and in every way, those opportunities you've afforded to us. Lord, we ask that you would bless moms today and women today. Let them know that they're especially special today, but special every day. And that we would be able to honor you, Lord Jesus, as we show love. Lead us out, Holy Spirit, we pray. And may everything that we say and do, God, make you smile. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.